We knew that this Sunday was going to be an exciting Sunday because of being back together again. We didn't know that there was going to be a flood, and I know as we planned for what this service would be like, we really felt it would be appropriate to spend a little bit of time talking about that because of the number of families that were impacted by this flood, but then the number of families in this church who have overwhelmingly come and served and given to help not just our church family, but those in our community. It wasn't just a couple days after the flood, and we had teams going left and right. We were trying to organize how we can help our church family, and we got a call from Samaritan's Purse saying we'd like to come and see if we could consider your facility and perhaps partner with you. And we were already figuring out this is way bigger than anything we could do on our own. And we're thankful for Samaritan's Purse coming in. And Lorenzo Torres is the project manager for Samaritan's Purse. We've asked him to come and just to share a few words about what Samaritan's Purse is doing. I am thankful. We have seen people come to trust Christ as Savior just this week because of this ministry. We're thankful for that.
Good morning, Calvary Baptist Church. Ooh, this is a special day for all of us because this is my first time in church in about 9 weeks or so, and I always told my wife I was the holiest when I'd be the first one back in church. Hopefully she's not watching. But first and foremost, I want to thank all the pastoral staff, Pastor Mark, Pastor Dan, the deacons, and all of you for partnering with Samaritan's Purse. We can't do our work without the local church. We need you guys because you are in the community. We're here for a short time, and after we leave, y'all are going to pick up the baton and carry it on. And one thing I will say with confidence, this is an excellent partnership because you all have already been showing the community what Galatians 6:10 says. And it says, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those to the household of God. Y'all have been taking care of your church family. Y'all have been taking care of strangers in the community. And that's what Samaritan's Purse does. We will come alongside the local church, partner with them, help take care of the church family, but also reach a lost and broken world throughout the community, and also to other brothers and sisters who are discouraged and been affected by floods and disasters and other things as well. So thank you for partnering with us. And just want to share a few things with you. Samaritan's Purse is going to be here helping homeowners clean out their homes, remove the wet sheetrock, wet insulation, floor materials, cabinets. We also do a mold suppression treatment, sanitizing treatment to homes as well. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team chaplains are here. They wear the blue shirts. They are here to provide the community with emotional and spiritual care. They're also here for first responders or volunteers. They're also here for you all if you need help as well. They are crisis-trained chaplains. And I also want to share a story from yesterday from out in the field. Yesterday, one of our assessors went to a home. There was a single mom there with an autistic child. And as our assessor started speaking with her, she started breaking down and crying and just felt like she wasn't doing the right thing for her child right now. She felt like she was failing him. So our assessor called the chaplains. A group of chaplain ladies came out, and it just so happened that one of those chaplain ladies used to be a therapist that specialized in autism. Only God can arrange that. Praise the Lord. And a short time later, that young lady, that young mother, gave her life to Jesus. That's what this is about. This is about encouraging the body of Christ, but it's also helping win souls for a lost world. And that's what we're going to do together in this partnership. If you need help, or if you have a friend or family member who needs help throughout Midland County, they can call this number. It's 989-513-4249. Again, that number is 989-513-4249, or they can come by our disaster response unit. That's a big black tractor trailer out in the parking lot. If you are interested in volunteering with Samaritan's Purse, you can visit spvolunteer.org. That is spvolunteer.org, or you can call 989-600-1371. 989-600-1371. We do two orientations a day, one at 7:30 in the morning, one at 12:30 in the afternoon. You can work for a half day or you can work for a whole day. We'd love to have your help because we're going to need the help to do all this work. And you can just come by and do a paper registration as well. The last thing I want to share with you guys is our stats. So far, we have received 265 requests for help. We have completed 42 of those. 28 have been done by another organization. That leaves us with 195 open work orders. Yesterday, we sent out 163 volunteers throughout the community. That gives us a 438 unique volunteers since we started our response here in Midland County. That's 438 people who've come through your church doors to help the community. The most important number I want to share with you all is the number of salvations. Since we've been here, we've had the opportunity to lead seven people to the Lord. That's seven people who've received Jesus as Savior. So let's praise God for that. Everyone in this room has a hand in that because you're part of what God is doing in this community. And the beautiful thing about this as well is after we leave, y'all are going to have a discipleship program and a follow-up program with all these people that we're serving, especially those who have received the Lord. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. I want to thank again Pastor Tim and Dan and everyone in this room and at home for partnering with us. Thank you.
When was the last time you felt overwhelmed? Well, for many here, you don't have to look back far in your memory. And we just heard some wonderful testimonies of God's grace through times of just feeling overwhelmed. These experiences over the last few days have reminded me of something that happened back in 1996. It was June. The Staples will remember this very well. The night our son Mark, Pastor Mark, got married to their daughter Danelle. And we had the reception right over here in our gymnasium, and the rain started to come down. And we live in mid-Michigan. Mid-Michigan gets affected when it really rains. And so sure enough, our parking lot out here goes down. It's designed to go down even better now, and since we've redone it. And so a lot of people had to wade to their cars out there in the parking lot. And so we headed home, and then I got a call from my mom. And she said, our basement, her basement, is flooding. Could you come over and help? And so, of course, we headed right over there. And so Mark's three younger brothers were part of the team. And we headed over there. And guess what we did the rest of the night? We bailed water. We had a wet vac. We'd suck it up. It was coming up out of the sewer thing down in the basement. And it was like a fountain, just spraying them, you know, how that happens. And we were sucking up water and then hauling buckets down the driveway to the curb where it would go down the road. We're trying to stay ahead of it and save the basement. We worked all night. I mean, we worked all night. In the middle of the night, Pastor Mark's younger brothers said to us, of course, he was on his honeymoon, we've got to go get Mark. We need to get him over here. I said, no, we're not going to call Mark. And so we just worked and worked until the point of exhaustion. And about 5 in the morning, my wise wife said to me, this is like draining Lake Michigan. We do need help. And so I humbled myself early in the morning. I called Ken Matthey because I knew he'd been into all this kind of stuff. Sure enough, he came over with a sump pump, and by God's grace, we saved the basement, all right? And I know many of you worked all night and weren't able to save the basement. And so we can relate to circumstances in our life, whether it be a flood or something else, where we give it everything we have and our strength runs out. You've been there, we'll be there in a fallen world. We'll have those times in our lives. We've all experienced that in our lives. And thank God for the times that drive us to prayer. My dad often would say to us as a church family, thank God for whatever causes us to pray more, to be humble before God. Now, in our humanness, we don't like those times. But those are times where, if we're a believer, our roots go deeper, don't they? We learn to trust God more. We learn to look to Him, and we learn to depend upon Him more. I love the psalmist who said in Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so many of us have been praying that way for family, friends, our community, ourselves. And I wanted us just to center our thoughts this morning on where do we go when our own strength runs out? Where do we go? And we as believers know where we need to go. We run to Jesus, don't we? That's where we run. We run to Christ. He is the rock that's higher than us. He was lifted up on Mount Calvary and died for our sins, has proven his love for us, was buried, rose again. He's a living Savior. He's present to help us in our times of need. And we as believers know to run to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for those who are not yet believers, but through overwhelming experiences are learning that I can look to God. I need to look to God. I need God. I need strength outside of myself. And a key verse I want to share with you this morning is from 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Apostle Paul, he was very gifted. He had a lot of abilities, but he had, many believe, a thorn. The Bible calls it a thorn in the flesh. Many believe it was a physical problem, but it was a severe limitation to him. It really, really hindered him. He asked the Lord three times, please remove this, please remove this, please remove this. And here was the answer that God gave to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul then in a right way responded, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, in my infirmity, that the power of God could be shown in my life. He was willing to be humbled. He was willing to suffer loss. He was willing to live with difficulty if God would be glorified through it. What a right response that only the grace of God could enable in his life, and can only that grace can enable that in our lives. So three thoughts I want to leave with you today, just to take home for your own heart that I pray will encourage you. Where should you and I run in our times of difficulty, when we're overwhelmed, when our own strength runs out? Where should we run? Let's remind ourselves of what the Bible teaches us. We need to run to his person, run to Jesus, run to the triune God, run to God. Number two, we need to run to the gospel. That gospel message is what encourages our hearts that Christ died, was buried, and rose again for us, and he's a living Savior. And then we need to run to his church. God is at work through his church, the body of believers. It's not this building, though we're thankful for a place to meet, but it's the believers who pull together and work together. God is working through his church. Think with me about these three thoughts. When difficulties come, you're facing him now. You'll face him in the future. Where do you run? Number one, you run to his person. You run to the triune God, the God of the Bible. I love the fact that God is a triune God. We get that, of course, in many passages in the Bible, but Matthew chapter 28, the risen Christ appears, the disciples worship, some doubt, and then he speaks to them these words. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, lead people to faith in Christ, lead people to believe in Jesus and become followers of Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. Jesus, the risen Christ, claimed, I have the power. You'll run out of strength, but my power will be available to you. And here's your commission. Go lead people to faith in Jesus. And then as you do that, lead them to make public confession of their faith in believers' baptism. And when they're baptized in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. The Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity is taught throughout the Bible. So where do we run when we're in difficulty? We run to the triune God. We run to God the Father. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created. He has all power. We run to the God we were taught to pray to. How should we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. God is a loving Father. He cares for us. He loves us. God so loved the world, he that God the Father gave God the Son to die on the cross for our sins. God the Father loves me. He loves you. Run to God the Father. Run to God the Son. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, that Jesus, another title for Jesus, is that he is the Word. He is the revelation of God. that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is deity. He's deity in human flesh. We can run to Him because He understands our burdens and our needs, because He experienced those in becoming a man and yet being God. He is fully capable to meet our needs. God loves me. God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, loves me. And Jesus said in John 15, no greater love than if a man lays down his life for his friends. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He went to the cross, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. Jesus loves me. He loves you. But then run to God, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, Peter was speaking to Ananias, who had sinned grievously, and he says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have lied to God. You see, the Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And so today, on this very day, we're celebrating the birthday when God sent, as Jesus had promised, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to come and indwell the believers. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon believers. But now in this age, this church age that was birthed in AD 30 today, going back all those years, the church was born. The Holy Spirit now indwells believers. And so when you and I repent of our sin and trust in Jesus as our Savior, God's Holy Spirit comes to live in us. We're not alone. Christ in you, Christ the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is with you always. And He has this wonderful ministry, and the more you read your Bible, the more you'll understand and will grow in our confidence that the Holy Spirit is at work. He teaches us. He comforts us. He seals us. He produces the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness or self-control, not based on circumstances, but based on relationship, that whatever the circumstances may change, however they may go up or down, as I surrender the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit in me and in you as a believer in Jesus. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Ephesians 3, Paul prays that we would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. How is it, as we watch those videos, that we could hear from one person after another who has just gone through such devastating loss, and yet you can see they're trusting God, and they're praising God, and they're wanting God to be glorified? How do you do that? That's God. That's God the Holy Spirit working. That's Jesus living in them and helping them. The Bible tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Why do these hundreds of people come and help in our community? It's because of the love of God. It's the Holy Spirit putting an unselfish love in the heart of saved sinners who care about other people who need to be saved. That it's exciting, isn't it, to be part of something bigger than us? God's at work. He's at work through difficult things. So what do? When difficulties come, we run to the person of our God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We trust in the triune God. Number two, we run to His gospel. We run to His gospel. Now, the word gospel means good news. Now, we're weak, but God is strong. We run to God. But we also run to His gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 1:16, what it says? Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's power in the gospel. Thank God for these chaplains that are bringing the gospel, good news, to people who are hurting. We all get the privilege of doing that. You know, I'm loving this. Cheryl and I have grabbed our little church cards that have the website that give all the gospel messages from truelife.org. And then we've written Samaritan's Purse phone number right there, the local one. And so whenever we meet people, we're handing them and saying, here's a church where you can connect. Here's an organization that can help you right now. And we're just passing those out. We all can just be God's little messengers through our community in this time. And we can bring a message of hope and a message of help. And that there are people here to help you. And they're not looking for money. They just want to help you. What a privilege it is to be able to share that good news. So run to his gospel. Paul said this good news of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, for the forgiveness of our sin and the eternal life that we can receive through faith in him, that this is good news, and there's power in this good news. That everyone who will, by God's grace, choose to repent of their sin and believe this good news, God will powerfully work in their life. He will change them to become a follower of Christ and a new person in Christ who now can grow in faith and receive strength from God daily. You see, in Jesus, there's power over the penalty of sin. Once you repent and receive Christ, there's power over the past because your sins are forgiven. There's no more guilt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Yes, we're all guilty. We're all sinners. We've fallen short. I deserve hell. I deserve to be separated from God. But Christ paid that debt for me. And when I trust Christ, there's victory over the past because my past is forgiven. It's washed clean. But then there's victory in the present. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, sin will not have dominion or authority or power over you as believers. You're not under the law, you're under grace. So when I accept Jesus, the grace of God begins working in my life to help me overcome sin in the present. Daily, I have spiritual warfare, but Jesus will help me. He'll help me overcome that temptation to be involved in pornography. He'll help me to overcome that temptation to just live a selfish, self-centered life. He'll help me to overcome my own sinful propensities because he, the risen Christ, lives in me. There's hope for the past, there's hope for the present, and then there's hope for the future. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3 that when Christ shall appear, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. One day I'm going to get a glorified body. Boy, I'm looking forward to that one. I won't have temptation anymore in my life. I'll be in heaven in a perfect place with my wonderful Savior, and I will actually have deliverance from the presence of sin. That's my hope. But it's not a hope of a maybe hope, it's a hope of a confidence. It's mine in Christ because he's risen from the grave. Run to Christ's person, the person of God. Run to Christ's gospel, the good news of hope, victory over the penalty in the past, victory over the power of sin in the present, victory over the very presence of sin in the future. That gives us hope. Run then finally, number three, to his church. See, God's at work in the church. That was so beautiful to see, hear the testimonies of how the body of Christ is at work. Christ is working. He's working not just here at Calvary, churches all around the world. But what a thrill to see God working right here in our local church. It's just a thrill. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18? He said to Peter, after Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "You are Peter, a small rock." And he used another Greek word, "and on this large rock." It's not on Peter that the church is built. It's built on the confession of Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The church is built on the person and work of Jesus. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." There's power in Christ's church because he's in his church. He's in us. He's at work through us. We're weak, but he is strong through weak people. He uses us for his glory. What a thrill to be used of God. Now remember, God's not the author of sin. It wasn't God that brought floods and disasters and difficulties into the world. The curse on the earth came because Satan tempted Adam and Eve. They chose to disobey and rebel and go their own way. And it was their choice to sin that brought death and destruction into this world. But God's got a plan to fix all that. You read the last book in the Bible and you find out how it all comes out. In the meantime, God's drawing people to himself. The church isn't a building, though we're thankful for a building. We're so thankful God preserved this building to kind of be a ministry hub and center right now at this crucial time. But a bad thing has happened, as we all know. This COVID-19 thing has shut down so many things. And it shut down our Upward basketball, which would have, over the last several weeks, been sharing the good news of Jesus with hundreds of boys and girls. It shut down our temporarily preschool, most of it, again, where hundreds of boys and girls were learning about Jesus. That's a sad thing. But you know, those things were just temporarily closed just temporarily. And in the meanwhile, through a hard thing, through a difficult thing, through a flood, look what God is doing. Christ Church prevails. The body of Christ is alive. Even in difficulty, God is doing great things. And haven't we as a church been praying this very way? Not God send bad things, but God save people. God help people to come to know Jesus. God help our own hearts that grow cold and complacent through all the materialism and the just temporal values of this world that tend to suck us in even as believers. Revive our hearts as Christians. Help us to really get on fire to love souls and love people and love what's eternal. We've been praying that lost people whose hearts maybe just get cold and hard toward God, because I don't need God. I've got my credit card. I've got everything I need materially. I don't need God. We've prayed that God would work in hearts. Do you think God's working in hearts? I believe he's working in hearts. I know he's working in my heart. And he's just reminding me of what's really important, what's going to last, what's eternal. And what a joy it is to hear of definite evidences. God is working in hearts of people who don't know Jesus. And he's bringing others to trust Christ as their Savior. God is at work. I will build my church, Jesus said. He is. He's building his church. He's building you and me, and he's working in others. And so trust him for his power. We're powerless in ourselves, but Christ has all power. Ephesians 1, Paul prayed that the believer's eyes would be open to we understand the exceeding greatness of his power, that we would understand there's a risen Christ who's bigger than any politics or crisis in the world. Trust him for his plan that he works through weak people. 2 Corinthians 4, that the treasures in earthen vessels so that he gets the glory. And this power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you because his Holy Spirit's in you. And so we don't faint, but we look to him. AccuWeather estimates the total damage, economic loss in this area may be around $640 million. Our hearts are broken. It breaks our hearts to see all of the memories and all the furniture and all the things out at the curb. But on the other hand, our hearts rejoice for every person that comes to trust Jesus, for every Christian that grows in our faith during this time. Finally, be his hands and feet. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go home this afternoon if you get a chance as a family. I've given you some discussion questions that are on our website. 1 Corinthians 12 pictures the body of Christ, the church, as a body, a human body, by way of illustration. You can go through the passage. I've given you the verses. They're in your notes. But he points out that we're one body with many parts, just like your physical body. It has lots of different parts, but is a unified body. We each then have individual and unique functions. A hand doesn't do exactly what a foot does. An ear doesn't do exactly what a nose does or an eye does. But all of those parts are important, aren't they? And so it is. We're all needed. We're all important. We're all valuable. There's a ministry for you now and in the future. You're part of the body of Christ if you've accepted Jesus. And so like a human body takes care of itself when there's a cut, when there's a hurt, the rest of the body comes to the aid, doesn't it? And that's what God is calling us to do. We're called to show care for each other, to show honor for one another. When one person suffers, we all suffer. When one person is honored, we all rejoice. We're one body in Christ. What a joy it is to see people who've lost much comforting others who've lost much. What a joy it is to see people who've lost much sharing their faith and using that opportunity to tell others of Jesus, the privilege to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Jesus shows his power through our weakness and through the unified efforts of the local body of believers. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What a blessing it is to hear these reports we saw in the video today of the Calvary family, but also the larger family of Christ coming in from all over Michigan to help and to serve. I visited this last week in the home of one of our dear members who had lost a lot. And rather than grieving her losses, she was just filled with joy because her neighbor had just accepted Jesus as her Savior. What a joy in difficulty, in the midst of our tears. We have joy. And so let me just remind us of what we all know. We're a body. We who are believers in Jesus, we're a body of Christ. We're a local extension of the universal body of Christ right here. And so what would be impossible and overwhelming for one person to do, the body together can accomplish. Let's trust God in these future days, weeks, months, and years till Jesus comes. God, energize this body to serve Jesus more fruitfully and effectively than we've ever been. Help us to encourage each other, pray for each other, give, serve, do laundry, make meals. Whatever it is that we can do, let's do what we can do. Let's serve each other, love each other. Let's love our neighbors around us who need to know Jesus. And then like that story Jesus gave of the man who was beaten and wounded and dying, Samaritan's purse is named after that Bible story. Religious people, the Levite, others walked around him. I don't want to get involved. The Samaritan, who there was a hostility between Jews and Samaritans. The last guy you would expect comes to that Jewish man, the Samaritan, picks him up, pours oil in his wounds, puts him on his own animal, takes him to a place where he can be comforted and helped. The Samaritan cared and showed the love of Jesus. God help us to be those kind of believers. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? As we bow for prayer, an evangelist put it this way: Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead people alive. Right now, you may be realizing in your heart, you know, I'm not a Christian. I know about Jesus, but I've never personally accepted him. I want to invite you right now, as you would just bow your heart and head before God, to cry out to God like the man in the Bible, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me now for Jesus' sake. We just ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. Tell him that you're believing he died, was buried, and rose again for you, and call on him right now to save you. And then for we who are believers, let's run to the gospel for the power we need in our times of weakness. The risen Christ can help us. What are your weaknesses? Would you just name them to Jesus and ask him to help you? And run to his church. Don't be afraid if you say, I've got some needs. Talk with the pastors. Talk with the folks from Samaritan Purse. There are people here to help one another. It takes humility to ask for help. Humble yourself. It takes humility to receive help. Yes, humble yourself. It takes humility to give help. Get involved. You can't do everything, but do what you can. Do what you can. Where does God want to use you? In the body of Jesus. Would you just quietly right now seal this little time of prayer in your heart, become a believer in Jesus, and as a believer, surrender yourself to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, minister to me in my weakness, and then minister through me to others. Father God, I pray all over this room that the blessed Holy Spirit will draw people. My heart and the hearts of everyone gathered here and the hearts of all those watching by video, draw our hearts to run to Jesus. You are our rock and our high tower. We run to you and we trust you for everything that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.